Our guest, a returning champ, provides A-plus information, analysis for the next hoops. She calls games for CBS Sports Network. Her podcast, still trying to recover from my appearance, is Locked On Women's Basketball on the X platform. It's at Missy Heidrich. Missy, great having you. How's life treating you as the madness ensues?
It's fantastic, and super pumped to be on with you today. It's crazy to think that after all of these months and all of the conversation that we got to the ultimate goal, which is March Madness, and now we just let the games happen and see who survives, right?
Yeah, you know, trying to keep up with you during the season is kind of hard. I mean, you've popped up in South Dakota. You do your weekly fast break on the next. Do you have moments during the teeth of the season when you wake up and it takes a minute to figure out, am I home in bed? Am I in a hotel? Where am I?
I do every so often. I think part of it is just you have to remember, okay, what date is it actually? And everything sort of falls into place from there. But I am so fortunate that my busy time gets to be the months of October through March, because I just think that that is a fantastic opportunity. Love to be on the road calling games, love to be at home, love to be able to talk to people like you through the podcast and so many other ways. And it's been a great season of women's college basketball, and we are headed towards what I think is going to be an exciting and unpredictable NCAA tournament.
You know, I don't have to tell you, you're a member of the Naismith Board of Selectors. We know Caitlin was the Player of the Year the last 2 years. Now this year, man, Paige Beckers, Juju Watkins, Lauren Betts, Hannah Hidalgo of Notre Dame, who I remember I heard somebody call her a kleptomaniac because of all her stealing. What's your thought here? Is there a front runner, or is this like you think the tournament's going to be kind of still open?
Yeah, I do think it is. I mean, in that sense, and I think those names that you just mentioned are the ones that are in the lead. There's no doubt about that. And I think for a lot of people, because this voting takes place during the tournament, and you're going to see people that are going to wait, as the finalist names come out, and then there's going to be the next round. I think people want to see who's really stepping up, who is truly coming to the forefront in the NCAA tournament, because I do believe that there should be a correlation of your team success and personal success. And obviously, you see what Caitlin Clark was able to do the last couple of years in taking her team to the Final Four and being in a national championship environment. All of that, I think, goes hand in hand. So I'm really curious to see how others approach their concept of voting. But for me, I like to watch. I want to see sort of where people are as their season progresses here in the tournament and how those individual players actually perform.
We continue. Missy Heidrich of the Next Hoops. As far as our Ducks, during the Sabrina, Ruthie Hebert, Satu Sabali era, they were kind of like, we dare you to try and score with us. But now they've really altered their style. And Missy, kind of interesting, they play this Vandy team who, with mm-hmm. Michaela Blakes and Camille Pierre, they like to say, okay, it's a really interesting contrast in styles, isn't it?
Oh, it absolutely is. And this is year four for Shea Ralph of UConn fame as both a player and an assistant coach for Gina Auriemma, her fourth year at Vanderbilt. This is a younger squad, a younger group, especially when you think about the likes of Blake, who's a freshman, and Pierre, who's a sophomore. But they're averaging just shy of 84 points a game. And so you have got to be ready to defend, and you're going to have to be able to keep up with that. I think if you're Oregon, you're going to have to figure out a way to have this game be a little bit more half-court based. They're not going to necessarily want to run up and down. I looked at the numbers the other day. I think Oregon's averaging under 70 games on the season as a whole. So those are absolutely contrasting styles. But I think it's also going to be a game that's going to be won in the trenches. And so you're going to have to, I always look at these, you know, these 7-10 games within a bracket. These are the ones where it's going to be who's going to win the battle on the boards, who's going to get the 50-50 possessions, who's going to be able to garner just one or two extra turnovers and then capitalize on them. Turnovers are fantastic, but you got to go do something with that. I think if Oregon could get themselves sort of in some of those trenches and win those battles, that's going to put them in a really good spot against a very talented but yet younger group in Vanderbilt. And I think some of the experience that you have on this Oregon roster, a player like Deja Kelly, who's been through the trenches of an NCAA tournament before, these things don't necessarily bother them. They're ready for big moments.
I kind of joked the other day. I said, Oregon is kind of like those people from the Woodstock era. They want everything in the 60s, nothing any later.
I think that could be very true. It kind of fits, you know? I mean, it's I think you're onto something there, my friend.
So, as far as this Duck team, of course, last year ended in a disastrous fashion. They lost 14 in a row, but Coach Graves and his staff decided, well, we're not going to sit pat. We're going to hit the portal. Peyton Scott got healthy. What about the turnaround he's engineered? I mean, here they are suddenly right back in the tournament.
Well, I just think it's been, when you think about what they were able to do this year and knowing that you had to go into a brand new league, I think that's the other factor that sometimes people forget. You know, this time a year ago, we were all watching the Pac-12 in its last hurrah and those teams that were part of that then having to find a new home. And when you go into the Big Ten, that was a stacked league already in terms of women's basketball. Then you add in the likes of USC, UCLA, Oregon, Washington. Holy smokes. I mean, they finished eighth in the Big Ten this year, and they were 10-8. I mean, they had a winning record, and you finished eighth in that league. So, I mean, that just tells you how difficult it was. I think that prepares you for an NCAA tournament. Again, you see all different kinds of styles in the Big Ten. That is what is going to happen to you in the NCAA tournament, a lot like what they're going to go up against with Vanderbilt. But I just think that what Kelly Graves has been able to do is to get kids to buy in, that they understood. You think about it hasn't been a team that was dominated with a 20-plus point score. You know, it's two players that average double figures throughout the course of the season, and then a bunch of complementary players. And I think sometimes that's how you build cohesiveness. That's how you create that culture. And they bought into what they needed to do to figure out a way to win games. And when you can be battle-tested, that is only a benefit when it comes to tournament time.
Talking women's big dance with Missy Heidrick of the Next Hoops. As far as the brackets, UCLA is the one. They're the big gun in the Spokane region. NC State brings back Azia James and a bunch from that Final Four run. Dare I say LSU lost their angel, but with Flo J. Johnson, pretty dangerous. What strikes you about what they're referring to, I think, is the Spokane One region?
Well, obviously you have to talk about UCLA just being the overall number one seed, the reason why they were slotted into that. After listening to Dorita Dawkins, who's the chair of the Women's Basketball Selection Committee, they got that nod over South Carolina because of the head-to-head and because of the 29-point loss that South Carolina had to UConn. And so they call those competitive losses. Well, UCLA was on the better side of those metrics. But I just think they're loaded. I think this is also a region that has a lot of teams that could surprise people. I mean, don't take your eyes off the likes of LSU, obviously, if Laje Johnson and Anisia Morrow can be healthy. You've got Baylor at a 4 seed. They're hosting at home. You've got Florida State with Taniya Lotson, who's one of the best scorers in the country. They're in at a 6. Ole Miss is at a 5. I think they thought they could maybe squeeze their way into hosting at a 4. Didn't get it, but they're on the road at Baylor. I just think there's a lot of really good teams here. You're going to have a hard time finding one of these four regions, Steve, that's not loaded, because I think there are a lot of good teams, but I do look for UCLA to get themselves to the Final Four.
let's get to the Spokane for USC. I mean, you look at UConn now, it's like unthinkable. They haven't won it in 9 years since Stewie led them to that fourth in a row. I don't think Oklahoma's been this good since their Final Four team a decade and a half ago. South Dakota, I think, is interesting as a 10-29-win yeah. team. They beat Oregon and Creighton. Plus, I just like saying Jackrabbits. what's your take on this region?
Spokane for, Lindsey Gottlieb, the head coach of USC. She was a little, she had some pointed words. Felt like they maybe were a bit slighted, that they were the quote-unquote fourth number one. With that said, this is also loaded. I think you've got UConn that's on a mission. Paige Beckers wants to get back to the Final Four. AZ Fudd is healthy. Sarah Strong, maybe the best freshman in the nation for the Huskies. But when you've got Juju, that is one added weapon that a lot of other people in the country, no one has. So I think USC is in the driver's seat. But I, like you, I am very impressed with Oklahoma. I love what Janie Baranchyk does there. I think they are destined to get themselves, obviously, I think, to the Sweet 16. South Dakota State, I think they will beat Oklahoma State in that 10-7. Keep your eyes on that one. I think the Kansas State, Kentucky round of 32 potential matchup, very interesting with Kenny Brooks, his first year and what he's done at Kentucky and rebuilding that thing with transfers. And you're going to hear a lot about Georgia Amore, but she is one of the best point guards in the country. So I think you could be looking, if the seeds hold, very well against Juju Watkins, Paige Beckers in the Elite Eight, and that is going to be one you want to keep your eyes on.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be one of those games that blows the doors off the ratings. Birmingham, too, we've got the reigning champs, South Carolina. Coach Staley wasn't thrilled at not being the overall one. Of course, they lost Camilla Cardoso to the WNBA, but still 30 wins. I'm a big Kara Lawson fan, had Duke in the Sweet 16 last year. They're really good defensively. North Carolina, Maryland are good. What's your read here?
I think for Birmingham, too, you have to talk about South Carolina playing now with a chip on their shoulder, but I just think they're so balanced. Someone said, well, they didn't have anyone that was a first-team All-American. Well, they had a host of them that were honorable mentions, and that's just because this team has been balanced top to bottom for their full roster, and they've been without Watkins for the majority of the season in the post when she went out with injury. So I have a hard time until you can beat the best, then it's really tough. You want to be it, you got to beat the best. Someone's got to knock off South Carolina. Duke has the capacity. I think that they are kind of peaking at the right moment. Their ACC tournament title was big for them. I really do like that. I would keep your eyes on the sixth seed in Birmingham to West Virginia. I think that this is a team, a year ago, they had Iowa on the ropes in the round of 32 in Iowa City, with an opportunity, and they couldn't get it done. And I think West Virginia, they've been kind of under the radar all year, yet they've been in the top 25. They've got one of the best backcourts in the nation. I think West Virginia could make some noise and get into the Sweet 16, but I've got South Carolina coming out of Birmingham too.
Couple final thoughts for Missy Heidrick of the Next Hoops. The Lone Star State region, Texas is one. And TCU, with their longtime Kelly Graves assistant, Mark Campbell, they haven't been to the tournament in 15 years. Now they're a 2 seed. Notre Dame has Hidalgo and the return of all everything guard, Olivia Miles. This is kind of a wow bracket. What's your take here?
I think Birmingham 3 is the toughest of the four. I mean, they're all loaded, but I think this is the toughest of the four. And as they say, everything is bigger in Texas, and so that's what it's going to look like. As you said, Mark Campbell, year two at TCU, he has put together a phenomenal season, a regular season, and a tournament title in the Big 12. Did it with transfers, did it in the portal. Haley Van List, Sedona Prince, that 1-2 punch. But I think out of this, you've got to keep your eyeballs on Notre Dame. And I think just in the simple sense that they feel slighted, I think they had a slide, and the slide put them in a position to be on that 3 line, not the 2 line. But I think that they can regroup, kind of get themselves in order. Notre Dame has all of the weapons you need to be successful in the NCAA tournament, including a fantastic backcourt with Hannah Hidalgo and Olivia Miles. So I actually do not have the 1 or 2 coming out of there, I'm going to go out on a limb and I'm going to say a three seed's going to get into the Final Four, and it's going to be Notre Dame.
You know, historically, Cinderella is not very welcome in the women's bracket. I checked since Louisiana Tech won the first one in 1982, just two times the national champ had more than five losses, and not coincidentally, both times it was the late, great Coach Summit in the Vols. So once things reach Tampa, Miss, how do you see it playing out?
Well, I would have to say at this point, I really do like UCLA. I think a UCLA-South Carolina final would be fantastic. That's what I'm keeping my eyes on. I think UCLA has the capacity to be able to go the distance. If Lauren Betts can stay healthy and they can just get those guards to continue to be as consistent as they have been. But South Carolina understands what it takes to win in those environments. And so it's really hard to bet against the Gamecocks. I would just like to see UCLA and South Carolina in the final. And I would tell you this, Steve, you know, I looked at this bracket. We've been talking about all of the things about it. And you mentioned teams with not very many losses. There was only one team in this entire field of 68 that was sub 500, and that was William & Mary. And they are in the NCAA tournament for the very first time, making their first ever appearance. Only reason, because they won the Coastal Athletic Conference tournament. They got in. Only team sub 500, and it's because they had an automatic bid. Otherwise, these are all teams that are able to hang their hat on fantastic success all throughout the bracket, and I think that's what's going to make it really, really good starting tomorrow.
Man, if UCLA won it, join the Big Ten, win that, and then win their first national title, Corey Close, what a story that would be. Folks, she's Missy Heidrick. Missy, you're the best. I greatly appreciate your time. Folks, on the X platform, it's at Missy Heidrick. Check out her work for the Next when she's calling games. You won't get better hoops info. Great having you. Again, so much appreciate you finding some time for us. Be well, and of course, I always look forward to talking again down the road.
Well, absolutely. Thank you, Steve. And I just love the fact that you are talking about women's basketball. You've got a lot of Duck fans. I know it's a big couple days of Oregon basketball on both the men's and the women's side out in your neck of the woods. So I hope everybody is enjoying the madness. And maybe their brackets are still in somewhat good shape after the first few hours, and I'm sorry if they're not.
My brackets have a tendency to be in flames by the weekend, but that's a story for another day. Missy, you're the best.
Amen.
Thanks a lot. Take care.